Welcome back, and thank you for listening to Quality of Life Radio Show. I'm Ronald Zack, one of the co-hosts, and Dr. Jack McGettigan is here. Hello, Dr. McGettigan.
Good afternoon, everybody.
And it's great to be back here, and you can call into the show and join in at 520-790-2040. Usually in the beginning, I'm going to hopefully do some of my news pieces in a little bit, but I wanted to mention something a little more serious and just wanted to give a little tribute to John C. Scott. As many of you know, John C. Scott was in this time slot just a couple months ago, and he retired, and we were fortunate to get a time slot that probably, I hope, has a lot of his listeners still listening. He died on Friday. He was 80 years old. He died in his sleep. And I'm just going to read one of the little news stories about him. John C. Scott, a longtime Tucson radio executive, host and commentator, best known for shows focused on his take on local politics. And it was, I believe, as he said, the longest running show, the longest running political show in Tucson. John C. Scott, a longtime radio commentator who spent decades on the air sharing his take on Tucson politics, died in his sleep on Friday. He began his career at the age of 15, later working as a disc jockey while attending the University of Kansas in the 1960s. He moved to Tucson in 1967, and he worked as a news anchor for KTKT 990 AM. He later was a news anchor for KVOA Channel 4 and KOLD Channel 13, and he hosted a talk show on KGUN Channel 9. His various shows through television and radio over a 50-year career focused mostly on politics, local, state, and national politics. There's a quote here from one of his children named Mark Ulm. Ulm was his last name, not his show business name. But remembered back to his time, and he said, very few people get the privilege of working with their father. The show that we did for C-SPAN when Gabby Giffords got shot, that was probably our most important. When the towers fell, he remembers his dad as someone who made a difference in Tucson for a long time, and he wasn't just a Southern commentator. He was a politician and a broadcaster. He was a good guy. I didn't know him very well, but I met him several times, and I did listen occasionally. I rarely agreed with him, but I did do want to give some tribute to him and thank him for this spot and for all of his service over the years. And we have a caller, Suzanne, welcome to the show. Thank you for calling. And what would you like to say?
Well, hello, Zach. Okay. Kind of a heads up of something that, in my eyes, very urgent. October 4th, October 11th, FEMA is going to be releasing a broadcast across the United States and I guess the territories that the United States owns. Well, when I first heard this, it's like, really? Okay. And then a little more, and then I got more on it last night. And basically speaking, it is not what it appears to be. There's a guy out there by the name of, let me see if I can get to it. Well, I don't see it, but he is qualifying this with the emergency broadcast release. It's going to be a pulsed 5G frequency, and it's going to happen at 2:22 p.m. Eastern Time, either on October 4th or October 11th. And there are groups that are trying to stop this, so it may not happen. However, when it happens, it's an 18 gigahertz 5G frequency that is pulsed for a minute three different times. What he is saying is shut your cell phones, TVs, and radios off at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. What is going to happen, according to, he's an attorney, I believe his name is, yeah, he's a military attorney, Todd Callender, and he's working with thousands of whistleblowers. He is saying that COVID shots that most everyone was forced to take are going to have the most problems. And what's going to happen, these COVID shots contained a lipid nanoparticle field pathogen like E. coli, Marburg, and Ebola, that when the frequency goes off, they're going to be released. They're going to
Suzanne,
swell, and it's going to cause an
Suzanne,
epidemic.
We don't have a whole lot of time, but is there somewhere where you could direct people if they want to get more information? This is, I'm looking at a report now that FEMA is planning to have this this test. So that's certainly true. And your information sources indicate that there's something nefarious that is going to do some damage to people who do receive the test. Where is it that people can look for more information about that information?
I have seen it different places. Jeffrey Prather, I've seen it there. Natural News, I have seen it there. I've seen it on Gab Social. I got it in an email last night from a lay pastor in Michigan, and it came out of a report from somebody named Reese that's on, Alex Jones's show. So it seems to be all over the place.
Okay. Well, people can certainly Google for some of those sites and find them, get more information. And I don't know the veracity of any of that information or what's going to happen, but I can assure you that I don't trust hardly anything the government does. So look into it if you're interested. But thank you very much for the call.
One other comment.
Yes.
Ron, they're saying turn off everything for 2 hours starting at 2 p.m.
And so that's so that you don't receive the message on your cell phone or television, right?
So you don't receive the frequency on your cell phone, on your radio, or your TV. And they say that you'll be safe. Okay. I don't know. I'm just, like the guy says, I'm the messenger. Don't kill me.
Okay. So, well, thank you very much for calling. We appreciate hearing from you. Take care. So the Quality of Life radio show is sponsored by Quality of Life Medical and Research Center, and that's the facility that was founded by Dr. Jack McGettigan and provides a variety of services, and we'll be talking about some of those. We are going to be talking a little bit today about Bio-T, which is a bioidentical hormone replacement therapy with pellets, and we'll talk about that. There is an open house coming up. We're also expecting a guest today who's going to be talking about IV therapies. It's from Advanced IV Health, and it's Jesse Morlock, an RN who owns that company and provides various kinds of IV therapies to anybody who's looking to be healthier and promote their health. And we're very, very big on promoting health. And the purpose of the show is to provide information on medical and legal developments and ways that you can improve the quality of your life through medical means, through legal means. Many of you know me, Ronald Sack, as a state planning elder law attorney and probate litigator. And we've had a show previously, Law Review Radio. I know we have some listeners who remember that show. And it's kind of partly reborn here with the generosity of Dr. McGettigan and now adding to it the medical piece. Many of you also know that in addition to being a board certified attorney in trusts and estates, I'm also a board certified nurse practitioner, and I work at Quality of Life Medical Center and provide primary care and some other services. And so I may see you there. I may see you in the office. I may see you in court. May see you at the bar. Never know. Why don't we go ahead and take our first break, and we'll come back, and if our guest is not here, we're going to do some medical and legal news when we get back. You can call us at 520-790-2040. We'll be right back. Have you been told that you need a trust to avoid probate? Not true. Have you been told that a trust will always avoid probate? That's not true either. If avoiding probate is your goal, I can help you with an estate plan that avoids probate after your death without the extra work and expense of a trust. If you need a trust for other reasons, I can help with that too. Learn the truth about trusts.
You can reach Ronald Zach Law at 520-999-3738. That's 999-3738. Or RonaldZachLaw.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Quality of Life Radio Show, and sponsored by Quality of Life Medical Center and Quality of Life Research Center. And this is also the center. I know we had that public service announcement from Suzanne a little earlier, and Quality of Life was involved. In full disclosure, in the study of the vaccine Moderna. So Dr. McGettigan is a bit of an expert on that and may address some of those issues at some point. I did want to go ahead and do some legal and medical news you can't use. Legal and medical news you can't use. And this is information that maybe there's something there that may interest you, but basically it's designed to be useless and uninformative types of news. And I've got several stories that I've accumulated over this past week. One of them is about my favorite Biden. It's a legal story. And my favorite Biden, of course, it's Robert Hunter Biden. And this is about his lawsuit against the Internal Revenue Service. So Hunter is suing the Internal Revenue Service for having violated 26 U.S.C. Section 6103, and that's the federal statute that protects confidential taxpayer information and prohibits disclosure and inspection by anybody, really, unless they're specifically authorized by that particular statute. And there was information that was apparently disclosed improperly. It was sent. You know, this statute's designed to protect sensitive and personal information and tax returns and guard people from really being targeted by the IRS. So it's going to be an interesting lawsuit. Probably has some merit to it. It, you know, would, however you feel about Hunter Biden and what happened, you know, he's got the same rights that everybody has, and if they were violated, I think that should be vigorously prosecuted. Here's a good job opportunity. If you're looking for a job, this is in Washington State. Now, one of the qualifications is you must have been incarcerated. prison to be able to get this job. This is a director of person-centered services. It's paying somewhere between $108,000 and $133,000, and the employee is going to be a senior member of the agency's executive leadership team. They're going to provide direct oversight of various strategic initiatives to reduce recidivism and improve the reentry of incarcerated adults. It's open to all former inmates. So I know that we have a lot of listeners who probably would have that qualification. I hope so. And you can apply. It's on the State of Washington website. Walmart has won a lawsuit. Somebody challenged, this was a great class action lawsuit, somebody challenged the fudge and mint cookies. There's fudge mint cookies that you get at Walmart, if you've ever had those. I've never tried them. But I understand they taste like fudge and they taste like mint. These fudge mint cookies apparently had neither. No fudge, no mint. And somebody got the idea to sue Walmart. I don't know if there is such a thing as fudge, really, but they were arguing that it doesn't contain any milk fat. And I guess you need milk fat to have fudge. But do you make fudge?
I don't make fudge.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Not that kind.
You're hitting my areas of non-expertise there, Ron.
Oh, gosh. Well, So anyway, there was a class action lawsuit, and the judge has thrown the suit out and said, no, you know, calling it mint just means it tastes like mint. Doesn't have to have any mint. And nobody says that fudge has to have milk fat. There's, you know, nowhere is it written. And I also learned in reading about that lawsuit that vanilla ice cream does not have to have vanilla in it. So it's only the taste that they're looking for, and that makes the advertising real. Here's an interesting sentence. I'm all for creative sentencing, and this is a sentence in federal court. This guy was in Texas, had been accused or been convicted of trafficking 28.5 kilos of cocaine. That's a lot of cocaine. And he was sentenced to 5 days in prison with credit for time served, because he had already been in jail, and the requirement to complete a law degree. So his punishment is going to law school. And I have served that time myself, and it wasn't that bad. It wasn't. You get over it. Coke and Pepsi are being sued for lying about recycling. So these products, this cheap plastic that you buy, this crap and this stuff, the plastics that are ruining your hormones, it can't be recycled. They say that it's all being recycled, but it's not. It's the stuff that's thrown out of the recycling because there's something wrong with it that it just doesn't work. So it goes into the ocean. And there's about, well, I hate these broad ranges, between 8 and 20 million tons of plastic that end up in the world's oceans every year. Most of it's from these plastic bottles. Who knew? And Coke, Pepsi, and Nestle are the ones who produce most of this plastic that's not even real plastic. It's not suitable for recycling, although they say it is. So there's an organization, of course, it's a California-based environmental group that's suing them, and of course they want to promote recycling, but they say, you know, this is not promoting recycling, so they want people to be aware of that. There was. And this is a story from New York, kind of a medical story, I guess, medical, legal, I don't know. But I don't know if this is all that unusual, but but there was a severed human leg that was sticking out of a recycling bin in a bank parking lot in Queens. That was like a week ago Wednesday. And that alarmed a lot of people. They found the leg. They don't know where the rest of the body is, if it's alive or dead. I don't know where the leg came from. And they don't know if it's a male or female. They can't tell. You would think they'd be able to. The medical anthropologists can tell that kind of stuff. But if anybody is listening, you may want to share this information. If you're missing a leg, you might want to contact the New York City Police, because they do have that leg that someone is missing. Speaking of amputated limbs, state of Oregon has become one of the few states, but growing number of states, that makes it legal and may require in some instances for a hospital, when they amputate a limb after surgery, the patient gets a limb back. I know Dr. McGettigan was a surgeon or surgery resident. Did you ever amputate a limb?
Yes, I did.
And did you give back
the limb?
Yeah.
You know, I was a intern resident then. I'm not sure that I was the one that would be doing that.
Okay.
That's probably a nurse's issue, Ron.
So that would be a no. You didn't give the limb back.
Well, I don't know. I have to ask the nurse.
You know, OR
nurse.
The OR. I don't know. I don't think the limbs are generally returned. But what's interesting is people ask for stuff like that back. Like, I would want it back if, you know, you could. I don't know what you do with it. But what's come up in Oregon, just as it has in Washington, is that the Indian tribes, they need to have all their body parts with them. They can't, you know, they're going to be buried with all of their body parts, and so they fought to be able to get these limbs back, because I don't know why the hospitals wouldn't want to give them back. There's all kinds of theories, but they have to now. If you want your severed limb back, I don't know why that makes me think something about Lorena Bobbitt, but we're gonna I'm just gonna finish this last story, and then we're going to take a quick call. So please hold on, Roberta. The last story that I have is Burger King. The Burger King's being sued again. These suits happen all the time. But it's for advertising burgers that look to be 35% larger than the ones that are actually served. So another false advertisement case. I think we should be thankful that there's less of that, what they call meat, that we're putting into our bodies from these so-called hamburgers. But they say that the hamburgers are smaller, contain half the meat, and they're not overflowing like lettuce, tomatoes, onions, pickles, and condiments like you see in the picture. So that's kind of crazy. So before our break, hi, Roberta. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Ron. Thank you for taking my call. I called with a question, but I have a comment. Before, you mentioned the plastic water bottles. Well, I drink out of glass water bottles, and I can't find anyone to come and pick them up, to take them to recycle, and recycle will not pick them up anymore. So if that continues, I'm going to have to go to plastic.
Oh,
and
my
it's
gosh.
It's not healthy for me.
Really, it's not healthy for any of us, but I know especially for you. And you know what I heard? I heard you on last week, I think, on the swap shop looking for somebody. You didn't get anybody who was interested in picking up those bottles?
Not one call, and that was the second time I called there, and I've tried everywhere I know. I've tried recycle and everywhere.
And
I tried my counseling's office.
You tried who?
And they couldn't help me. My councilman's office.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I would think the recycling companies would want to pick that up.
I saw something recently where they stopped picking that up, but you can take it to, I think there's 30-some places that will take glass.
Right, but you have to take it, and Roberta can't get out like that.
Gotcha.
Well, if I hear of anybody, I'll ask around. If I find somebody with a truck, I'll...
Thank you. I'm at Pima between Swan and Craycroft, if you find anyone in the area.
Okay.
And my question is, do either of you know anything about MCS?
MCS?
Multiple chemical sensitivity.
Ah.
I have to look it up.
Yeah, we don't, but we can probably find out. Is it, do you have a medical provider now, right?
Well, I'm looking around because there's no one around here who specializes in it anymore.
Did there used to be?
There was, but he passed away.
Okay. Well, that's something else. I've made a note here to look for bottle pickup and MCS specialist for Roberta. And if I can come across somebody, I'll mention it on air and hope you're listening, okay?
Thank you very much. And I'd also like to know if your IV specialist knows anything about MCS.
Though that's
because
I would
be interested in IVs too.
Okay. Well, I think that's a great idea, and I'm hoping he shows up. I'll have to check. He's probably lost because this place is so hard to find. But we're gonna have to get to a break. Thanks so much for calling, Roberta. We'll try to get information for you.
Have you been told that you need a trust to avoid probate? Not true. Have you been told that a trust will always avoid probate? And that's not true either. If avoiding probate is your goal, I can help you with an estate plan that avoids probate after your death without the extra work and expense of a trust. If you need a trust for other reasons, I can help with that too. Learn the truth about trusts.
You can reach Ronald Zach Law at 520-999-3738. That's 999-3738 or ronaldzachlaw.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Quality of Life Radio Show, and I'm Dr. Jack McGettigan, and myself, Ron Zach, are your co-hosts, and we come to you every week, 3 o'clock on Saturday on AM 1030 KVOI to talk about anything legal, anything medical, And we'll have a variety of topics on that, just about anything. And if you have, questions about your love life, we've got experts on that too. So whatever you need. I wanted to talk a little bit, and you're welcome to call us at 520-790-2040. I wanted to talk about bioidentical hormone replacement therapy, BHRT, it's sometimes called. And that's one of the things that Quality of Life Medical Center has been really a pioneer at and has been involved in this for many, many years and has a great deal of expertise treating both men and women with various hormones, generally testosterone, estrogen, and sometimes others, thyroid. But we're going to be having an open house, and I wanted to promote that. It's this is an event that's happening October 5th. It's going to be at the clinic. The clinic is over at 5390 East Erickson Drive, which is in that complex of medical buildings across Grant from TMC. So near Grant and Craycroft area. And this is going to be a talk and information provided on BioT, which is a form of a mode of delivery of this type of therapy. And Dr. McGettigan, how long have you been? You've been doing this a long time.
Well, I got involved with hormone replacement probably around the year 2000. Of course, BioT at that time I don't think was in existence, but that testosterone, of course, been around for a lot longer as far as a hormone replacement. And over the years, I've had experience with both injectable forms of testosterone. We've done several studies with it. I actually got involved with BioT, I think it was 2016. And then we've been doing it ever since then with many, many repeat patients.
And can you describe a little bit about what is BioT?
Well, BioT is just, that's a company name. Mm-hmm. It was started by a doctor out of Dallas, Texas. And he was an OBGYN, mainly working with women. And then what he found was a lot of the women had complaints about the guys, their husbands or significant others. And so he, I think, then began to treat not only the women, but began to treat the guys. And our clinic, because it started off actually treating men with sexual issues back in the early 2000s, we were rather unique when we started doing BioT, because the majority of our patients were male, not female. And we've had great success. I'm one of those people who actually I've been on it myself over the years and found it to be very helpful, both for energy, moods, helps mood. Certainly there's some benefits that I would put in the sexual category. And I find that people who try it tend to find that they feel better. Yeah, if you're somebody who likes to work out, generally you have more energy and you can maintain muscle and put muscle back on. It's also great for bone health. There's a lot of data regarding cardiovascular benefits. It's kind of, I wouldn't say it fixes everything, but it certainly helps in a lot of different areas. And I encourage patients that might be interested, or if they have any symptoms of or they might think they might need hormone replacement, that they should go see their clinician, get their hormones tested. And what we find is that with BioT, we're trying to optimize hormones is the thing that a lot of docs maybe don't necessarily look at. Over the years, there have been a number of patients who've come to me who've seen their primary care doctor, and they will have had their hormones checked, and they're in the normal range, but they might be low normal, and they have a lot of symptoms of that would correlate with low testosterone. So I've, over the years, tested some of those guys and seen great results.
In the patients that I see, so the kinds of symptoms people come with are things like fatigue, feeling tired all the time, low motivation, slow recovery from working out if they have the motivation to work out at all, low libido. Some men, as a result, have erectile issues, and all those same kinds of symptoms among women. And then women also often have the symptoms of low estrogen and menopausal women. And so there are symptoms that I think a lot of providers just tell their patients. Patients tell me they've been told, it's just part of aging. Just get used to it. You got to feel that way. You're getting old now. Is that your experience?
Definitely, I've had a number of patients give those kinds of answers from their other clinicians. I've never been a physician that's said that. My goal of quality of life is to try to maintain quality of life and the energy that we had at younger years. And it seems like there's a lot of data and evidence that hormones play a major role in that. So again, if you have any concern, I would recommend you get to your clinician, get those things checked, your hormones, along with other normal blood tests. And you may find that that's something to consider. It may make a big difference for you in the future. Help keep you feeling younger, acting younger, and living longer, and hopefully with quality of life.
Excellent. Now one of the things, and I know we don't, obviously, we don't rehearse any of this, and we don't really talk about what we're going to talk about. We don't necessarily prepare, but one of the things that I look at too and try and point out is that it's true that your hormone levels, and particularly testosterone, decrease year by year as you get older. That's a natural thing to some extent, but aren't there other reasons that our hormones are lower, that overall hormones now, testosterone levels among men are lower than they were 30 years ago?
I've seen some data with regard to that. Some of it has been related to things that might be in the food we're eating now, perhaps pesticides. I mean, there's lots of things you could blame it on.
Plastic bottles.
Well, I know a place you can get some glass ones. Roberta, hopefully you're listening. Yeah. We may have some people coming by to get those. But the thing with hormones, yeah, we do know, particularly with men, testosterone levels tend to drop. I think they, around age 30, they drop perhaps about 1% a year. And what's interesting is there isn't a certain percentage drop that all of a sudden now you have issues with energy, now you have issues maintaining muscle. We're all individuals. And that's something I've always stressed to my patients over the years is, you know, we're all unique. And so figuring out what your unique issue is or what's going to help you feel better, it's a bit of a mystery that we have to solve. I think that's part of what we as clinicians try to do. And it certainly could be that the topic we're talking about could be hormones, could be a diet thing that's necessary, a change in what you're eating. It could be you need to just get active. I mean, and what I find as I'm getting older too is if I'm not staying as active as I have been, I have all kinds of aches and pains, and I need to tell myself, okay, get off the couch, get out of bed, go do something, you know, move.
Well, and isn't joint and muscle aches one of the symptoms of low testosterone as well?
Yeah, I think you can almost blame any symptom on that if you want. And it does certainly help with a lot of those things. We've seen it. So, yeah, I mean, if in doubt, check it out in my world. And you may be pleasantly surprised if you try it, and it helps a lot of your symptoms. Worst case scenario is if it doesn't help, just stop.
Right. And you also need to be looking at other potential causes of those symptoms too, so that when, you know, when I have somebody who's complaining of those symptoms, yeah, we look at hormones, but we're also looking for anemias. We're checking not just testosterone for hormones, but a lot of people have thyroid problems. Thyroid's a big issue too. And there's just a number of things that need to be investigated when you feel that way. So we don't just jump to the hormone treatment as a cure-all.
No, I would recommend, and what I've always done with my patients is I've got a pretty broad spectrum, a lab test, which does include hormones, but it does include a CBC chemistry, looking at lipids, sugar levels, inflammatory markers. And depending on what some of those things come back, we might dig a little deeper. So yeah, it's not a simple, it's your hormones. I mean, it's definitely could be, but it could be a lot of other things.
Right. And one way to find out more, if you want to learn more, is to join us on October 5th at 5 p.m. You can call to reserve. The phone number to RSVP is 520-547-0572. And you can RSVP for this open house informational meeting and learn a lot about the hormones. I am going to talk with Dr. McGettigan a little bit more about the different modes of administration for the hormones when we come back from our break. And you can call us at 520-790-2040 if you have a question or want to contribute to the conversation. We'll be right back.
Have you been told that you need a trust to avoid probate? Not true. Have you been told that a trust will always avoid probate? That's not true either. If avoiding probate is your goal, I can help you with an estate plan that avoids probate after your death without the extra work and expense of a trust. If you need a trust for other reasons, I can help with that too. Learn the truth about trusts.
You can reach Ronald Zach Law at 520-999-3738. That's 999-3738 or ronaldzachlaw.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Quality of Life Radio Show, sponsored by Quality of Life Medical and Research Center and co-hosted by Dr. Jack McGettigan and myself, Ronald Zach. We talk about anything legal, anything medical, and we'll talk about just about anything. We were talking about bioidentical hormone replacement therapy and promoting a little bit the talk open house informational meeting that's going to be held at the Quality of Life Medical Center near Grant and Craycroft. And that's going to be in the evening, 5 p.m. on October 5th. So it's coming up pretty soon. Actually, that's 2 weeks away. 2 weeks.
I think a little bit less than 2 weeks now.
Less than 2 weeks. So you, if you're at all interested, you can call to RSVP so that we know you're coming, so we know how many cookies to buy. And the number is 520-547-0572. And I wanted to ask Dr. McGettigan about some of the different modes of administration, the different ways that people can take hormones, because there are a few.
Yeah, there are a number of different ways that hormones can be replaced, from the initial one that I used to use quite a bit in men especially as an injection. And then there are troches, which is usually made by a compounding pharmacist that you would slip in your mouth and your tongue and let it just slowly get absorbed. There are also several gels that we actually were involved with in research over the years that you can acquire, and you rub those on, and they get absorbed through your skin. And then there's patches, too. That's not so common anymore. That was one of the first forms, I think, that came out in the late 1900s, early 2000. I found those to be a little annoying because it sounded like you were wearing Reynolds wrap every time you moved your arm or wherever the body part that had it. You'd hear this crinkling noise. So I think I had one patient maybe that was on that over the years. I may be forgetting one. Do you think of one that I didn't mention there on?
Subcutaneous.
the pellets.
Yeah.
Yeah, BioT uses pellets that are done, it's kind of like a little bit more than an injection. It requires a very tiny little incision. I've actually been on the receiving end of that every 6 months or so since 2016. And for me, I found it actually worked better than the other techniques, and certainly more convenient. You kind of forget you're on anything, because for 6 months, you don't have to do anything.
And people give very good reports about it, and you include it.
Yes. No, it's been a great thing for me personally, and certainly got had a whole gaggle of patients who came in every 4 to 6 months for a repeat procedure.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I see that too. And we have a caller on the line. Pat, thank you very much for calling. Thanks for listening.
Oh, you're welcome. Great show so far. Funny thing that you're talking about hormones and estrogen and all that stuff. I wonder if the doctor knew about the devastation that diethyl stilbestrol did to generations, the fake estrogen that was given to pregnant women between 1937 and 1971, which ended up goofing up our reproductive tracts.
Yes, unfortunately, over the years, we in medicine have made some mistakes. So I'm aware of that. Of course, one of the reasons for using the bioidentical hormones is we don't see those kinds of issues, thank goodness.
Your radio show long ago from someone who called in who said that she was the wife of the scientist who actually developed that, and when the other scientists got a hold of it, they made a molecular mistake. And it wasn't the inventor's fault. But the reason I'm calling you is to see how far we've come and what you guys are doing about these kinds of things. It sounds really encouraging that you're on the air talking about such things.
So you're asking what is being done to prevent those kinds of mishaps?
Well, for example, I know someone who lost every baby she ever had, except that they were all there, and they were only removed surgically, and after it was all over, it was presumed that something was up that wasn't a normal anomaly, and then we went to her mother's doctor, and it was confirmed that she had had that. And if you Google it, you'll see a lot of that. So I would say that's one of the reasons why we have more fertility clinics now and fewer 18-child families running the farm. But that's just me. Anyway, if you wanted to look it up by October 5th, maybe we can talk about it more. Diethyl stilbestrol.
Okay.
And,
well, then I'll,
God bless you all.
Oh, thank you very much. Thanks again for calling and for being a listener, Pat.
You're welcome.
So there are, you know what, obviously there have been a lot of things that we've learned and gotten a lot better at in medicine and law too. But is there any final words about the hormones that you wanted to bring up?
No, at this point, if people have an interest, again, I think I would promote the thing we've been promoting. Just come to the meeting. It's an informational event, and I think there may be some health food there besides cookies.
Some the low-carb cookies, probably, right?
Well, no, I think we can hopefully scrape up something that's a little more, a little healthier than a cookie. Although, nothing against cookies. I partake every now and then myself.
Not fudge mint.
Not fudge mint, right. But I'm all for some cauliflower and broccoli.
We'll try to get some of that for you, Ron, at the function.
So in our last few minutes, speaking of food and diet, so I talk a lot about diet with patients and with people, and I've been one of the worst examples of how to eat. But periodically I go on a pretty severe diet, which I'm on again. Which is kind of a very modified Atkins sort of ketogenic diet, where I try to totally avoid carbohydrates, which is very difficult. But it's, you know, I'm eating a lot of steak, a lot of fish, a lot of vegetables, a lot of salad, and it, for me, it's very effective. It's really helped. But we all need to get in shape. Obesity is on the rise.
Well, and movement is a good thing. In our profession, you know, we sit and talk to folks a lot. And in both your professions, I imagine mm-hmm. you're mostly sitting.
That's true.
So get up and move. Get out there. The weather's turning in Tucson, so it's a little easier to exercise during the day, not just in the morning or late mm-hmm. evening. So definitely encourage people to get their exercise, whether that be just a walk, a little jog, bicycle ride, swimming. Maybe test out some of the personal trainers out there. Get a gym membership, whatever, you know, suits your fancy. But yeah, movement helps.
Absolutely excellent advice. Next week, our focus of the show is going to be on research. We're going to be talking about research and some of the research that's done at Quality of Life. Thank you very much for listening to the show. It's been great again. We'll see you next week.